Okay, I want to start out with having you solve a problem. I'm going to say that I want to take in a major and an option. Okay, so I want to take in a major and what option you're in. And I want to do a test to see if the major is equal to CI and the option is either PG or WD for programming and web development or something like that. So I want to look at this and say the major is CI and the option is either PG or WD. Okay, so if I look at this, I'm going to start out and I'm going to take in, set up my variables, and I'm going to have prompts to take in the data that I need. So I'm going to have a prompt for major and a prompt for option, because those are the two things that I want to test. And then I'm going to drop down and say, okay, if the major equals CI, then I want to check the option. So if the option equals PG, then I want to display or write. If the option doesn't equal PG, then I want to ask, does the option equal WD? And if it does, I will write. If it doesn't, then I want to not write it out. And maybe I want to write error or whatever you want to do, but I don't want to write it out. So I can write, not eligible. So I can have something like the ones where I write eligible and the others I write not eligible. Okay, so these are eligible. I'm testing for eligible, just to give you something to write. I'm testing for eligible or not eligible. So this one is also going to be write not eligible. And then I close these up. I close up the bottom one. And then I go back and I close up the next one, the yes and the no. And then I close up the last one. And then I stop. Okay? So that's the logic. I want all majors who are CI who have either an option of PG or an option of WD. Okay, now I can write this with a compound or I can write it using simple ifs. Either way will work, because what I want to do is the same. And what I want to do if I get no's is the same. So I have the same thing. So I can write this as either a compound or with simple ifs. Okay. So I want you to take a few minutes and try to write this program. And I would say let's start with doing the compound and then we can reduce it to simple ifs so we can do both. So try writing this program and then we'll look at the solution. Running into problems, feel free to ask Eric or I, or talk to the person next to you. We're doing that, writing a JavaScript program that does that.
Sorry, I'm late. I'm not prepared.
That's okay.
Pardon?
I think I did it.
You say you did it? Is it working?
Yeah.
Good.
I did one if, let's see, I got a compound for...
One if, yes, that's, I want you to try it with one if and then try it with three ifs. So if you get it done, make another one that tries it with three ifs. So I want you to try it with the three simple ifs and with one compound if. Run into problems, let us know. Everybody seems to look like they know what they're doing. Write it as one if statement. Do you need parentheses? Well, that question's a little bit weird. How do you write and an or? That's and. And that's or, remember? Something working or close to working or
problematic. I'd like you to try it both ways. I'd like you to try one if statement, and then if everybody's still working in your time, try it with three if statements. Oh, that's single, right? Yeah. I don't think you can do it that way. It kind of ignores the PPU. You have to write the entire condition. So it's what option E equals A. Because I don't think it will work without just PP. Try to put in CI and CG. Yeah.
But I also probably
know here. No, I'm not going to get it now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so try and.
I have to break down.
Yeah, and say option equals on both of them. And don't forget equals also.
Gotcha.
Equals is written how, folks?
Two
equal signs. So this is equals. And one equal sign means a sign. Okay. And you changed all of them to double equals, right?
Yeah.
That'll do it, too.
Okay. I don't know why.
It's just an easy mistake to make,
yeah,
because you're used to writing equals as one equal sign for all these years, and now all of a sudden you want to write two. Writing out the entire condition. Okay, I'm gonna go over it now, and you can fix what the problems are that you have or add stuff as we're going through it. So I started out and I just put the problem up as a header just so I would remember what the problem was. Okay? And then I have a prompt where I'm asking them to enter the major, and I entered CI.
And then I ended the prompt and I gave them a bunch of options when I did it. But the only ones that are good are PG or WD. And so I put those in. And it came back and said meets criteria. So if I look at the code for this, and this one is the one apparently where I did the three separate ifs, so then we'll look at the compound in a minute. This one has the three separate ifs. Okay? So I put that explanation that I put is outside the script in each one. Because remember, you're embedding inside HTML, but that doesn't mean you can't have HTML. So I've got the HTML up here, just saying H1, Elvis is telling me what to do. Then I entered the script, and I set up the variables for major and option, and then I put up a prompt to take in the major and option. And then I said, is major equals CI, and notice the double equal sign. So if it equals CI, then I immediately drop down and ask about the next thing. So I'm asking, is option equal to PG? And if it is, I do a document write meets criteria. My other thing I could have done there is had message and assign that to message, and then down at the bottom, done a document write of message. You can use alerts, display, there's a bunch of ways you can get it out. I just tend to use document write for this. If it's not PG, but it is, I still know it's CI. This tells me it's CI. If it's not PG, then I go to the else test and see if it's WD, because I said either one of them was okay. So I'm testing to see if it's WD, and if it is, then I say it meets the criteria. If it's not PG and not WD, then I write does not meet the criteria. They're not eligible or whatever I thought was eligible on testing. If the major is not CI, I drop all the way down to that else and write does not meet the criteria because they had to be CI. This is one of those occasions when it is CI in either but two other things. Then after the whole if, I wrote document write all done. And then I ended the script. So if you look at these, the major, if it's true, I want to continue on. If the major is not CI, this is what I want to do. Okay. Then if the option is PG, this is what I want to do. If it's not PG, that's what I want to do. And if the option is WD, I want to do a document write, else I want to do a different document write, saying does not meet the criteria or is not eligible. Okay? So that's using the simple if statements. Okay, that's how I can do it using the simple if statements. Questions? Okay, if I want to do it using a compound, I've got a lot to erase. Okay, so I'm basically going to just erase all of this. Actually, I'm going to put it. I didn't realize I hadn't copied it already. Okay, so I'm going to basically get rid of all of this. And I still did the wrong thing. There we go. Finally, I got it. Okay, so if major equals CI, and then what am I going to put next? I'm putting the and, right? And the and is written with the two ampersands like that. So I'm major saying, if major equals CI, and then I'm writing option equals PG, or, and I need the two pipes for the or, option equals WD. Okay, is that done correctly? I'm missing some parentheses. Because how would this resolve? This would resolve because and's resolved before or's. This would say CI and PG or just WD. Okay? So that would be the way this would resolve. So it would right now say CI and PG or just WD. That would be the way that it would resolve without the parenthesis. Okay, so what I need to do is put in the parenthesis. Okay, so now I'm putting in the parenthesis and I'm saying resolve the parenthesis first, which is figure out PG or WD, and it's got to be CI in either one of those. Okay. And then I'm going to put a document right in here. That says that it meets the criteria. Okay, so if it's that, it meets the criteria, else it does not meet the criteria. Does that make sense? So I'll save this as major3.html. And if I go and run this, okay, I apparently saved it at the wrong place. Yeah. File, save as, whoops. The F drive, major3.html, thank you. Okay, so end of the major, CI. Enter the option WD, and it says meet criteria. Okay, so that is working, and that's the output that I would get. Now, I only tested one thing. When you test things at home, you should always test all the possibilities. So I should test CI and PG, CI and WD, CI and AA, something like that, to make sure it's an error. And then I should also test major as AA and all of the other combinations. So you want to look at this when you're testing and test all of the possible combinations to make sure that it acts right on all the possibilities. Okay, that's what involves testing a program. Okay, questions? Does this make sense? Okay, question. Pardon me, it just is showing a white screen. Okay, Eric will look at it in a minute because you've got some kind of error in there. Then I did another one that was very similar to this. File open. Major test 2, and this one had CI, and it had either a major does not meet the criteria. Wait a minute, I wanted major test 2. And a GPA of 4, so that meets the criteria. And then the 2 came up. So this one is where I was testing for CI and PG or a, and I changed this up here, or PG or a GPA greater than 3.5. I didn't change my little message. But it should be, an option must be either PG or a GPA of 3.5. So I went through and did that. Now, what I wanted to do on this one is show you again a little bit about debugging. And so if it came here, I put up an alert that I was in the first thing, so alert 1. If it came here, I put up alert 2, and that's what showed on the screen was alert 2, because it was the GPA that got me there. So putting up those alerts can help me figure out where the logic is going. And so I just threw in those alerts as a debugging tool. If it isn't working, it shows me where it went. So if I got a does not meet criteria, it would put up either a 3 or a 4, and I would know it went to that spot. And that helps me figure out what I did wrong by knowing where it went. Okay, so that's kind of a debugging technique. You can also, in debugging, go up here under Tools and Web Developer and look at the Web Console, and it kind of comes up down below and shows you some hints that might be helpful. This one is working, so I'm not seeing any hints. But you get some hints that might be helpful in trying to figure out what went wrong. Okay? That's more when you get the white screen of death, because that means you have some kind of a JavaScript flaw, and it will come up and show you some of the possible errors that you have. And each browser does it a little differently, but all of them have something under Tools that will help you figure it out. Okay? So play around with those a little bit. Speaking of playing around, Thursday we will not have a class. Thursday will be all day lab. I do that a couple of times in the semester, once after we've started JavaScript. So Eric and I will both be here from 9:30 until 2:30, somewhere in there. And you can come and stay as long as you want. And you can come any time during that period. And that means you can come and get help to get caught up. Okay, so if you're not caught up, I strongly suggest that you come. If you're caught up, you've got a day off. So you can go do whatever. But Eric and I will be here, and there will be no lecture, no new material or anything. It's just come and work and ask questions, okay? So from 9:30 until some, and then Eric, what are you going to do for the rest of the afternoon?
Thursday?
Yeah.
I don't know, I guess I'll be here for a couple hours.
Okay. And then you're going to be here in the late afternoon, or? Okay.
4:30 to 6:30, I'll probably leave at 2.
Leave at 2 and then come back at 4:30?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's, he will then be back at 4:30, but that's in a different land, no?
Yeah,
that's in 105.
105, yeah.
Okay, so when he comes back at 4:30, it'll be 105. So Thursday's the day to get caught up, folks. Please take advantage of it. And come and get caught up. Okay. Now we're going to start looking at loops, and let me out of here, please. Okay, I just didn't want to be here anyway. Okay, we're going to start looking at loops. Remember that I told you before that there are three things that a programming language has to do. It has to be able to do sequence. It has to be able to do decisions. And we've just been looking at those. And it has to do repetition. And repetition means loops, so that I can do something over and over and over again. Okay, so that's the third ability that I've got to be able to have. So we're going to start looking at loops. So the first one is while loop. And the thing says, how many times should I write the line? I click 5, and it writes the line 5 times. Okay, so if I look at the view source on this, okay, so it started out a little bit bigger. I started out by saying I've got a variable called data input. And then I immediately put the prompt of how many times should I write the line, and then I set up another variable. So I kind of intermingled my variables and my prompts. The reason I did that was I wanted to have the variable count equals run right before the start of the loop, just so it was obvious that it was there. And so by putting it right on top of it, that meant I pulled the prompt up. A loop has to be able to do three things. You need three things in a loop. You have to set a control. And that's what I did when I said count equals one. I am setting the control. Okay. So I set the control there. Then I have to be able to test the control. And my control here is count. So I have to be able to test the control. And I'm doing the testing of the control inside, I guess I can't do that, inside the while loop right there. I'm testing the control. And then I have to be able to change the control. And I'm changing the control right here when I add one count. Okay? So I'm setting the control when I say count starts out at one. I'm checking the control when I ask is count less than or equal to data input. And I'm changing the control when I say count equals count plus one. And all three have to be done or you run into a problem. Okay. So let me get rid of the ink and we'll look at it a little more. So the control is being tested where I say count less than or equal to data input. And then inside the loop, okay, I will do a document write and I add one to count. Now, when you do adds, I have told you that you need to have parse float. And that's true, unless your browser can figure it out some other way. And the browsers seem to be able to figure it out if one of the two things you're adding is a number. If one of the two things you're adding is a number, the browser seems to be able to figure out that you want to add as opposed to concatenate. And so it works. The safest way would be to say pass integer count plus one. That's the safest way. But all the browsers, I think, handle this just fine, and so it's a shortcut that you can take.
So it only needs to, it only has that problem with variables?
Yeah, yeah. That's what seems to be. But again, every browser does things differently. Every browser updates how they do things. The safest way is to always use one of the parse things or something like that. But, okay, so now I am saying take count. And this is why, again, this is an assignment sign. Because I'm saying take count, add one to it, and assign it back to count. And that's why it's an assignment sign. Because count does not equal count plus one, okay? But saying take count, add one to it, and assign it back to count is a legitimate thing, and that's what's happening here. The while loop has the condition inside parentheses, just like the if statement had the condition inside parentheses. And what you want to do inside the loop is inside curly braces. When the loop is done, it drops out and writes of the loop and does the next command, which is a document write. So I've got a count and I've got data input on my two memory variables that I'm using. And I started data input out at zero and I started count out at one. Those are the initial values when I defined them. So I'm starting out and I'm saying, well, count is less than or equal to data input, okay? But I've taken in a prompt, and so data input is not the zero that I started out to, it's whatever was entered in the prompt. So I entered a five, so data input became a five as the result of the prompt. So now when I hit the while, I'm saying, well, count, which is one, is less than or equal to data input, which in this case is five. One is less than or equal to five. So I go in and I do a document write, and I write it out. And when I write it out, when I write it out, it writes out as this is number, and then it takes the content of count, so it writes a one. And then I immediately say, add one to count. So count now becomes a two. Okay? I go back and check, is count less than or equal to date or input? Yes, it is. So I document write again and add one to count. I go back, is count still less than or equal to five? Yeah. So I document write, this is number three, and I add one to count. I go back, is count, which is four, less than or equal to five? Yes, it is. I document write out the four one and add one to count. I go back, is count less than or equal to? Yes, it is. So I document write, this is number five, add one to count. And now when I go back, count is no longer less than or equal to. So it drops out of the loop and does document write over there. So that's how the loop does works. It does it over and over again until it finally gets that it no longer meets the condition, and then it drops out. Okay. Now, this is checking before I do the loop. So it is possible that I will never enter the loop. Okay. If I put in a zero for data input, it comes over here, count is a one. Is count less than or equal to data input? No, one is not less than or equal to zero, so it never enters. So there is always the possibility to never enter the loop. There's the possibility that I will never enter the loop. So again, if I put in one, zero as data input, then one is not less than or equal to zero, and so it will not enter the loop. It just won't go in because I'm asking the question first. So my while loop, I have up at the beginning that I have got my variables. I've got my prompt. I am setting count. And then I am asking the question. I'm asking the question about count. Is less than or equal to something. So I'm asking the question. If count is less than or equal to, I come across here. And either going down or going across, it doesn't matter which you do, I say that, okay, I am going to write, and then I'm going to add one to count. So I'm doing what I did inside the loop, and then when I finish, I come back and go in over here and ask the question again. So that's how I loop. I ask the question. If I get a yes to the question, then I write. I do the add one to count. I do whatever is inside the loop. And then when I'm done, I go back and ask the question again. And I keep looping through here until finally count is no longer equal. And for some reason, that test usually has the no pointing down. When we do decisions, we usually put the no off to the side. With this, because we're basically continuing on in the program, they have the no go down. So the no goes down, I do the write of this is the end, and I stop. Questions? So now I'm going to look at the next one, which is going to be quite a bit different. Come on. Okay. Click. Now it did it. Okay, so now I'm going back and I gotta get rid of this thing too. Come on. Whatever. Okay, the next one I wanna look at is the do loop. So I'm looking at the do loop. How many times should I write the line? And it says 5. And so I see exactly the same output. The difference is that this time I am testing after I have done the loop. So I come in, I set count equal to 1, and I go do the loop. I don't ask whether I should do it. I don't ask anything. I just say, do it. And so it doesn't. So that means that it will always do it once. Or at least once. Because I don't ask prior to going in. I go in and I do the loop. So with this one, I set my variable count equal to 1, and then I drop down and I do the document write, and then I drop down and I add 1 to count, and then I ask, is count less than or equal to whatever it is I want to check, which is data input. If the answer is yes, I go back up and I write it. If the answer is no, I'm done and I'm out of here. So the difference is, though, that before I check, I've already done the loop once. So this allows me to do the loop at least once. No matter what, I'm going to do it once. I may not do it again, but I'm going to do it once. So if I enter a 0 here, okay, it comes in and I've got count and I've got data input. And they're set up like that. I come in, count is 1, I do the loop, so I write it out. So I write out 1 thing, and then I add 1 to count, and then I check. Is count less than or equal to data input? No. So I drop out. So those would not be written. I would just write the first 1, and then I drop out. Okay. But I always do it at least once. Does that make sense?
As long as the while is after the write.
That's right. So if the while comes after I do after the loop, that means I do the loop and then I check. If the check comes before the loop, then I check before I enter and I may never enter. Okay. Well, I didn't quite mean to do that, but that's all right. Okay, the next one is an if with loop. So count at the beginning of the loop is one. So I'm putting up alerts. This is an alert telling me count at the beginning of the loop is one. I click OK, and it says total points after add. And I'll click OK, and it keeps giving me NAN because I'm trying to get out of here. There. Yes. Okay, and then we'll do it for real in a minute, but there. Can we finally get the code? This mouse is being very temperamental. Okay. I have no idea what I entered on these, so I'm not even actually going to show you the output because I kept just hitting different keys. Okay, so what I put in here is I might have hit trouble debugging this. So I put in alerts to tell me where I stood. So I said alert, count at the beginning of the loop, and I showed count. And then after I added the total points, I said total points after the add, and I showed total points. So I can trace what I'm doing going through. I would never leave this in for the user. I'm using it as a debugging tool. Okay, so I can throw the alerts in to debug logic. Doesn't do anything for me for syntax, but helps with logic. So on this one, I said count equals 1, and I want to do this while count is less than or equal to 5. So I start out, and I put up that alert that shows what count is. And then I said, okay, input points. And I asked the user to enter input points. Now I'm going to take input points and add them to total points. Okay? So that I have the total of what's happening. I have the total points. So let's go back and I'm going to rerun this. So count at the beginning of the loop is 1. And I'm going to put in 50. Hello? 5, 0, thank you. So I'm entering in that there are 50 points, okay? And then I'm saying, okay, and it comes back and tells me the total points after the add are 50. So if you look at the code, you can see that that's what it did. It took and added the input points, which was 50, to total points, which was 0. So 50 and 0 is 50, and it assigned it to total points. So total points now is a 50. Okay. When I click the OK, it says count at the beginning of the loop is 2. And I'm going to enter 40 this time. And it comes back and tells me that I have 90. Because total points had 50, I'm putting 40 more into it. So it's now 90. Right? So 40 plus 50 is 90. Notice it is keeping total points. So now the next one is going to say 90 plus whatever I put in. So if I put in 30, total points is going to become 120. That is not what I wanted to do. So, okay. Number of points, so if I put in 30, I'm up to 120. If I put in 20, I'm now up to 140. And if I put in 10, I'm now up to 150. And I've gone through it 5 times, so I'm done.
Question.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe I'm overlooking, I'm overthinking it, but on the count, where it says count people parse engineer, count plus one.
Yeah.
Why do we do that? We couldn't just put plus one.
You could have just put count equals count plus one, just like I did on the last one. But I mentioned on the last one that this was the safest way of doing it.
Yeah.
So I just did it that way this time. There's almost always more than one way to do it. So when I get out of the loop, I had a total of 150 in total points. So I now came back and asked, is total points less than 10? If it is, I got one message. Else, if not, is it less than or equal to 50? It's not, so I go to the else, and I put out the message, or I save the message. You can choose a prize from Group A. And after the if, I do a document write of the message, which says Group A. Okay? So this is a loop, and when the loop is done, I am checking the total to see what message I want to print out. I printed nothing inside the loop, I just ran through the loop. Now I want to look at the last one that we'll look at right now, which is the one that says final totals. So this one says, end of the points player 1 earned, 50. End of the points player 2 earned, 40. Do you want to play again, yes or no? And I'm entering yes to tell it I want to play again. And I click the OK. End of the points that player 1 earned, 25. End of the points that player 2 earned, 55. So, do you want to play again? No. So I'm going to enter an N for no. And it tells me the total for player 1 is 75, and the total for player 2 is 95. Okay. So I'm going to do a view and look at this source. And that's what I've got. Okay. So now I've got player one. I've set up all my variables, player one total and all of that. And then I set up a variable called continue program. And that's going to be my controller. Okay? So continue program is my controller. And I am saying that I'm starting it at Y, and I want to keep going as long as it's Y. Notice at the bottom of the loop, I do a prompt, and I ask them, do you want to play again, yes or no? And as long as they enter a Y, and it has to be a capital Y. Don't forget, we'll talk about it. Could be a lowercase y if I put an or in here and say or on program equals lowercase y. So then I'm going to enter either an uppercase or a lowercase y. And we'll also talk about later about how you can convert uppercase to lowercase or lowercase to uppercase. But for now, if they enter a y, I will play again as long as it's a capital. What about if they enter an A? What will happen? Pardon? Yeah, it will stop. okay? Because I'm only going to continue if continue program equals a Y. So if you want to play again, Y or M. They can enter anything other than a Y and we won't play again. Only a capital Y is going to keep me in the game. So down here, I said, and got away with it, when you enter the number, convert it to an integer right away. Put up the prompt and convert it to an integer right away. And doing that, and this one is even more iffy than the count equals count plus one, but doing that, it let me get away with doing the add without doing the parsing, because I had changed it to a number coming in, and that apparently was enough to prove to the browser that I wanted to add. Okay. Again, it's iffy. Someday they're going to change the browser and this isn't going to work. But it works now. Okay. And then at the end of the loop, I wrote out document play, write the play, the total for player one is, and the total for player two is. Okay. Now what I would like to do is put out who won. So I want to modify this program to put out who won. But we've run out of time. So if you modify this program so that it tells who won and send it to me, I'll give you extra credit. Okay? It has to be done before next Tuesday because we'll look at it next Tuesday. And if you happen to be in 122, you're in great shape. Okay. We are done. Don't forget who won. Could be player one or player two, or there could be a tie. Keep that in mind. And nobody.